Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, joined by Dr. Anthony Lillis, as we discuss the Discerning Hearts Pilgrimage 2020, a Trinitarian Holy Land pilgrimage in the company of Elijah. Over the next several episodes, we're going to describe what the experience will be like, and we hope that you will consider joining us, or at least following us, in this audio presentation. Anthony, thank you so much for joining me again.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you, Chris. I really appreciate the time you're taking to go over this itinerary of our pilgrimage that we're taking this coming May and June 2020. It's coming up fast. And as we go through this, I find myself getting excited about the powerful moments of grace that are in store for those who are able to come.
Now, just to review quickly for everyone, we have literally been on a journey with the Holy Trinity in more ways than one, haven't we?
Yes. This is called In the Spirit of Elijah. And in a certain way, we're uncovering or we're exploring the almost Carmelite roots of our faith. It sounds a little funny to say that, but the Carmelites view their spiritual father as the prophet Elijah. And the prophet Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, is connected to John the Baptist. He was the herald who called forth and prepared people for the mission of the Messiah. And what was Jesus's mission? In a nutshell, his mission was to unveil to the world through the cross the love of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the beginning of our pilgrimage, we began it looking at God the Father, his immense love for humanity that was being poured out. The walk through the desert kind of puts us in touch with that. That eternal plan of the Father is preparing something beautiful for each one of us. And then we moved to God the Son, and we looked at Mary and the incarnation. And that brought us from Galilee and the places where Jesus ministered in the north. Now we're in Jerusalem. As we enter into Jerusalem on these days, we enter into it our last couple days, that Sunday when we're in Jerusalem is Pentecost at the Holy Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the kind of the spiritual roadmap that Holy Land is taking us through. I've mentioned that the Holy Land, it's like almost like an eighth sacrament, if you will. It's the geography, the holy geography that you walk through makes real again for us in the most profound way that all that God has revealed is not in abstraction. It's not a myth. It's concrete and particular. It's historic and at the same time eternal. And while we walk through this land, all these graces kind of come to us as we walk through the mystery of this land. The whole mystery of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come crashing in into our lives. And so this is the journey we're on. And on this particular day, we're on Sunday, May 31st, the Feast of Pentecost, we're going to be going to some of the, well, really to the most sacred places of all.
I am so glad that the night before will be a different type of night for us, because as you said, you know, that day, Saturday, we'll be in Bethlehem and we're going to experience that moment that so many of us have lived through since our childhood, you know, the experience of Bethlehem and the shepherds and the Holy Family and everything else. But we're going to need to have that time of teaching and fellowship to prepare us for this next day, aren't we?
Yes. The mystery of Jesus in his sacred humanity, everything he did as man, he did as God. Every divine activity he made as man. When Jesus was born, we can say God was born. This transforms human birth. It transforms human history. We say that Jesus Christ stands at the center of human history, and everything that he did for our salvation kind of explodes in that moment. And we will be there at kind of ground zero where this just kind of overwhelming wave of grace began to take over the whole world. And it culminates, its apex is in Jerusalem at the Holy Sepulchre, where he died for us and where he rose from the dead. It's one church covers both of these sites. So the mystery begun in Bethlehem is completed or brought to its highest perfection in Jerusalem. And the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is the guardian of this, of the sacred place. And so we go from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and we go to Jerusalem, to this kind of apex or perfection of Christ's work of redemption for our sake. Why did he die for us? He died for us so that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He died for us so that the outpouring of love that he shares with the Father from all eternity, this person gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, might be ours. And we will be there on that day, this beautiful feast of Pentecost. We'll have Mass either in the Holy Sepulchre itself or at the Greek Catholic Patriarchate, which is right nearby. The Holy Sepulchre, the Americans normally have Mass at the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the normal place, but I've also been in Jerusalem. We'll have to see what happens, because sometimes things just happen. But one year I went and we had Mass right in the center where Jesus was laid, and they nailed him to the cross right there. It was one of the most powerful moments of grace. But my experience has been those who are called to go to the Holy Land and those who are called to go to the Holy Sepulchre, it's never been the same way twice. Something different and beautiful happens, and that's what I know is going to happen for us. So wherever we have Mass this morning, that morning, it's going to be a very unique and powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit for our pilgrimage.
And I think it's important to emphasize the point that on this day, when we have this encounter, I mean, this is Sunday of Pentecost, and we're actually on the ninth day of really a living novena, preparing us and bringing us to this moment, that we are beginning this day with Mass, with the grace that flows from it, so that, you know, please, dear God, let it be that, you know, whatever the pilgrim, that you, me, those who are joining us, whatever is going on in their life, that this is quite a saturation, a pouring out of some extraordinary grace, isn't it?
Yes. With this, you know, we will be able to venerate the place where Jesus was nailed to the cross. We'll be able to venerate where the cross stood. There's a beautiful altar there. We'll be able to venerate where they took his body down and prepared him for burial. We'll be able to enter the empty tomb. We'll be able to venerate the garden where he appeared to Mary Magdalene. We'll actually see the place where St. Helena found the cross centuries later. Behind the place where Jesus was crucified was kind of a dump where they threw the crosses the criminals hung on through the years. And St. Helena was able to go there and miraculously find the cross that Jesus hung on. And all of this will be part of the beginning experience after Mass. We'll also, the whole day in a way will be a day of plunging us into the passion of the Christ. And it's a powerful thing. The deeper you go into the passion, all the mysteries that I just gave you, the deeper you go into the resurrection, more you avail yourself or open your heart to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These things are kind of extremely connected one with the other. And so there we are. I mean, that day, as we go through, then we'll also see Gethsemane, where Jesus, the night before he died, prayed for may this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. We will actually go into the courtyard of Caiaphas's house where Peter denied Jesus, and we'll see the place where Jesus was imprisoned. In that room, there's kind of a stain on the wall, and I love to go in there and just ponder that, wondering if somehow Jesus' body touched that. And then later that day, we'll actually walk the way of the cross. and recall all the things that happened to Jesus. And again, all these efforts that we have as we go through, we're the deeper we go into the passion, the more we ponder the resurrection, the more we open our hearts up to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Finally, we'll also actually go on this day, we'll actually go to the church where it's not a church so much as the place called the upper room where the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles. We will be there on the Feast of Pentecost. It's kind of an awesome moment. The day ends back at Gethsemane, where we will spend a special holy hour in adoration. So it will be a day of immense prayer, a day of baptizing our imagination and actually physically following in the way of the cross. You know, all of these mysteries will come alive for us. But then it ends in this kind of quiet solitude in Gethsemane, where we get to spend an hour with the Lord, where we get to, won't you pray with me 1 hour? Well, we will be able to have that 1 hour with the Lord in Gethsemane with a special holy hour of adoration. It's going to be very powerful.
Wow. I don't know what else to say, but wow. I'm on several levels, I'm so thrilled, Anthony, because first, we're going to have a small group. So it's going to be easier to get in and get out of these places, isn't it?
Yes, we're purposely keeping the group small because we believe that when you go on a pilgrimage, it should be kind of an experience of a family together. You're going into truths and places that are so profound and intimate, important for our faith, that it's important that we not be a group of strangers to each other. It's important that we be brothers and sisters in Christ as we make this journey. And so it will be a smaller group. And the advantage of a smaller group is just what you said, is that you can go into these places and come out of these places with a little bit of a greater ease than would otherwise be possible. And then it also makes it possible, too, for us to be able to spend a little bit more time in prayer at these places. Sometimes when you're with a large group, you're waiting for this and waiting for that. And when you have a smaller group, when you finally get to the holy sites, you can actually, with the group, spend time in prayer. And that's what I'm most looking forward to. And that's one of the things that characterizes this particular pilgrimage, is that it will be a pilgrimage where we really learn how to begin to pray. We will pray through all these powerful mysteries of our Christian faith.
My hope for everyone who comes with us is that there will be peace, that the experience, hopefully, will be a profound sense of peace. It doesn't mean that you drift off to sleep, but it's one of those things where, because the world today right now is so filled with, I don't think I'm overstating it when I say people are afraid. There's all kinds of situation. There's anger. There's so much going on in our world right now, Anthony, that in all my years of living, I don't think I've ever experienced it quite to the scale that we have today. And maybe every generation can say that. But my hope is that people will come away with a profound sense of peace.
You know, the heart of Jesus is what gives us peace. And the places that we'll be going throughout this pilgrimage are places of his heart. You know, he experienced all these things in the succession of time. But each of these events cohere in his heart all at once. And when we draw close to these same mysteries, the mysteries of his heart that has suffered death, but his heart also that has conquered death and that dies no more. It's not that we become immune from or we escape from what's going on in the world or what's going on in our lives, but we gain a vantage point, profound, the peace that reigns in him, the peace that nothing can take from us. Not even death can take from us, because he's conquered death. As we go through this and we receive anew in our lives this gift of the Holy Spirit that his heart pours out upon us, I think pilgrims will discover that despite all the tumult and the rancor and the craziness that's going on in the world and in the church and in their families and in their communities, the peace of Christ reigns forever. It rains now more than it ever has. Jesus is not less active than he's been before. He's more active now than he's ever been before. And he's inviting us into these deep places of his heart so that we can join him in his mission. And again, when you go on a pilgrimage, you pull away from all the craziness around you. So it is true you pull away, but the reason why you pull away is to gain God's vantage point so that come what come may, you have his peace with you.
Amen. Let it be. Thank you so much, Anthony.
All right. It's been great, Chris. And I look forward, we'll get to, I hope, talk at another time about our last day of this pilgrimage. It's going to be really exciting. We're going to end our pilgrimage on the road to Emmaus.
Oh, here we go. Back in the world. All right. Thank you so much, Anthony.
This is Dr. Anthony Lillis.
And Chris McGregor, and we invite you to join us in a once-in-a-lifetime Discerning Hearts Trinitarian pilgrimage throughout the Holy Land. This will be a unique opportunity for contemplative prayer, spiritual teaching, and fellowship in one of the holiest areas on the earth. The place is touched by the lives of Jesus, Mary, and the apostles.
During this time, we will also walk closely in the company of the prophet Elijah through the most miraculous moments in salvation history, which would later become pages in the gospel. Along with Sister Magdalite Balduc of the Community of the Beatitudes, the community of the famous Father Jacques Philippe, we hope to lead you into a new encounter with the great mysteries of our faith and a renewal of your devotion to the Lord.
Join us May 23rd through June 2nd, 2020. Please visit discerninghearts.com for a full itinerary and learn more about the Discerning Hearts Trinitarian Pilgrimage to the Holy Land.